He's back. Good on you. Three life group leaders just gone. Oh, did he? Oh, good. Oh, I'm glad about that. That's great, though, isn't it? God brings some great speakers to the coast. It's really amazing. What is it? I was just having this conversation before. And what is it about the Gold Coast that these mighty men and women of God are coming here? Just a powerful thing. Something's happening on the Gold Coast. So, well, I'm going to ask Kylie just to come up here because we're on this thing for the sake of the world. And Kylie's got a testimony. I thought this was a great testimony that's right in line with what we're talking about. That is reaching out to touch other people with the gospel. Not only the gospel, but the government of God. And she's a great person to witness to people. She uses Facebook. She uses personal testimony. But I love this because she was open to the Holy Spirit. And you're just going to love this story. So I asked Kylie just to take it for a couple of minutes and tell us about what happened.
Hello, everybody. So, yes, a few months ago, I was waking up one morning and I actually had a bit of a dream vision. I don't really know if I was awake or asleep, but I saw very clearly myself driving in a car, and I knew straight away that I was either in Burley or even more specific West Burley. And I pulled up to a house and I actually saw the house clear as if it was my own house. I saw the fence. He just showed me quite in detail the house and the front door and the stairs going up to the front door and the shape of the house, and just everything was so specific. And then I didn't actually see any people, but I really sensed that it was a family with a lot of children that lived in the house. And the Lord said to me that I need to go to that house and tell them about God, about Him, and that they need Him, and just specifically to go in and tell them. And I woke up and sort of thought, oh, wow, that was really vivid and really specific, and okay, I'll just see what happens and see what God does from there. And I prayed straight away, as you do if anything comes straight away, you pray. So I just prayed for that family and whatever was happening there, and that God would intervene for them. And so I just went on with my day and with the week, and just had it in my mind and in my prayers, and just kept coming to me and so specific about what the house looked like and everything like that. And one morning on my way to work, I was actually driving through West Burley, and I just happened to look over to my right, and there's the house. There it was, exactly everything, in every detail, the front door, the fence, the grass, the everything was there. So I sort of was like, oh my gosh, wow. So I just prayed and went to work, and I pondered on it for really a couple of months, and I just kept praying. And I live sort of around that area, so I was driving past and I'm looking to see if there's a family there or children or anyone, just to confirm that that really is what I need to do, and just kept praying and praying and praying. And so I did leave it for a little while, and then we had our harvest team meeting. So the Lord has put me in the harvest team, and we had this amazing meeting, and it was so inspiring, and what we're doing and what the Lord's doing. And I shared a little bit about what had happened through that dream. And when I drove home after the harvest meeting, I just couldn't believe that I hadn't actually gone to the house yet. I realized how strong and specific that was, and I was completely convicted, and I knew, right, tomorrow, no matter what, I am going to that house. I don't care what happens, it is happening. So I asked Kerry, who's on the harvest team as well, to come with me. And the next day at lunchtime, I shut the office and off I went. And I was really, you don't know what to expect. A little old man could have lived there. I didn't know. It was such a step of faith, and to believe that it really was this family and that God really was sending me there. And I also felt I needed to take a food parcel, so I grabbed a food parcel and off I went with Kerry. And I was so nervous and thought, oh my gosh, I don't know, an old man, a young man, anyone could answer the door, and what am I going to say? And but I just trusted God and that it really was what He wanted to do. So I knocked on the door, And then this woman answered the door, and straight away I could tell she was a mother. Next minute I'm seeing little children running around, and instantly the Holy Spirit just showed up and the presence of God just came upon me. And she was very talkative to begin with, so she just went blah, 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 talking about her day. She was very, very talkative, and I'm sort of standing there with the food parcel and Kerry, and then finally she said, "So, what are you doing here?" And I said, "Well, actually," I said, "I work over at King's Christian Centre, the church, and I felt God sent me here to tell you that He loves you." And her mouth just dropped, and she looked at me and she sort of stumbled around a bit, and I continued on to say, "I actually had a bit of a dream a few months ago, and I'm sorry it's taken me this long to get here, but it's very specific. He showed me a house and he showed me that you have a lot of children." And she's like, "I have 5 children. And it was just amazing. And she sort of stumbled around, and after a few minutes she said, and I'm thinking, "Oh, now what? You know, I really want to go in." And my heart was beating, and I could just feel instantly the father heart for this family and what he had told me to do, and that I had to just obey it. And so then she said, "Come on in." So I was like, "Yes, yay." And as she was walking down the hallway, she said, "Funnily enough, you're not going to believe, oh, this is all making so much sense. And oh, let's get a coffee and sit down. And oh, I've got to tell you this stuff." And so as much as it took me a while, I realized it was God's timing, because only in that recent couple of weeks she had hit rock bottom. And she told me that she was actually asking where her deceased father was, and just feeling like she's about to have a breakdown and nobody's around, and she's having really bad marriage problems, and the kids are depression and many things happening in the family. And she told me that just recently, within that past week, she had actually driven down a waterfront and with suicidal thoughts. And I'm going to cry, but she just said that she'd never cried out to God like she did that night. And she just said, she shook her hands in the air and she was like, "Where are you, God? Where are you? I need you." And also looking for her father, and just completely worn out mother, pretty much a single mother of 5 children, and just no hope. And so I'm just completely blown away by this point. We're sitting on her veranda and there's children running around everywhere, and the presence of God was so strong. I just felt like I was on holy ground, and I could feel His heart just wanting to just impart into her life so she would know that He is there. And we prayed, and she was open for prayer, and I asked that Jesus would reveal Himself to her. And in the food parcel I put heaps of things about Kings and little Bibles and all sorts of things, and we stayed there for ages and we prayed, and it was just amazing. And she was so receptive and beautiful and just so overwhelmed. She was crying, and we swapped phone numbers, and since then I've been in touch with her. And and I'm just praying and believing. The enemy's been there with a few little obstacles to actually get her to church, but I'm believing that we're going to see her here soon. And it's just amazing. And when I left, I thought, wow, you know, we've just got to be so available, because there's people in their houses and God is willing to speak to us, and He's always speaking, and we need to be listening and obey where He's leading us, and just to be open for that, because there's so many people in their homes and they're lost. And I just can't believe that now we have this relationship. And I just really quickly want to share, this week she sent me a message, and it just says, "I would like to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being so lovely and simply asking me if I'm okay. You are always concerned for me, and I really want to thank you for that, as it means so much." And isn't that just amazing? Like, we've only just, you know, she's just been so blessed. So God, yeah, God is amazing.
Yeah. Isn't that fantastic? And so Kylie's on the harvest team. Nigel, where are you? Are you here? Nigel's at the back there. Just stand up for a second. We're really building a team that's, we have our assurance of salvation team here, run by Paul. We have our elements class. We just want people to come to Jesus. We've started most recently the harvest team, which is a team that's teaching people how to lead folks to Christ naturally, wherever you are. But also they're going out, they're praying regularly, and they're going out sometimes onto the streets if they wish, if you wish, if very bold in some of the ways they do it. That's Nigel at the back. If you'd like to be a part of that team, you are welcome to join. Thanks, Nigel. Moving in the gifts of the Spirit to see the kingdom come. Kasa, just come out very briefly. This is just a brief test, a brief part. He asked if he could share his testimony today. But how he came to the Lord is a significant part. Can you do this just briefly tonight? We'll do it more fully another time. How does that sound? Can we do that? You can do that?
Just going to say,
just briefly, a couple of minutes.
Hi, everyone. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Kasa. It's been amazing to be worshiping God in this place. Like, my life was horrible before. I didn't know where I was heading. I was just going in the wrong direction, but God changed everything. He's wonderful, you know? I got King Heat on the 29th of December 2013 in Surfers Paradise. I got hit by two Mormons. They came on the church camp. So I don't know them. They don't know me. So I got hit from behind. But I went blank because I fell down, hitting my head on the ground. So I didn't know what happened after that. So according to the newspaper, like, they got arrested. I was in hospital. When I was in hospital, I was just struggling between life and death. I was just in the middle, like, death was trying to pull me, death was trying to drag me, and life was pulling me back, you know? Until I heard a voice. The voice said to me, "It's time for you to wake." I woke up immediately. When I woke up, I dragged the doctors and nurses to one side. Like, I woke up with full force. Like, the force was too much, you know. I pushed everyone to one side. So after that, I couldn't breathe. Like, they had to put me in coma. I went into coma. When I was in coma, I don't know. I can't explain the things that I saw there, of course. I only can imagine them. I don't have words for it. But when I got out of coma, like, when I woke up, the first thing I said is, I wanted to see the doctor. I shook his hand. I said, "Thank you." For some reason, I don't know why. So I remember a nurse looking at me. She said to me, "You have a guardian angel with you." I didn't know what she meant, but after that, I had to be moved to the intensive care. So the doctors met me, said my jaw has been broken in two places. They had to put a platinum plate on it. I have to undergo surgery. So I went into surgery on the 31st. And New Year's Eve, 31st of December 2013. When I was in surgery, according to the doctors, I stopped breathing. They had to remove the suction pipe and revive me back again before they can continue. So after that, after the surgery, I remember Daniel Christie in Sydney. He got hit. He got hit on New Year's Eve, 2 days after mine. He died 10 days later. So I said, why? Why did I survive mine? I was asking myself heaps of questions. Like, I was confused. I didn't know what I was doing. I was totally confused. Like, so after that, I was sleeping one night. A man in white appeared to me. He said to me, how are you feeling? I said, I'm getting better. When I woke up, I couldn't see anything around me. I slept like a little baby that night. I slept like a baby without worries. I woke up, I was so healthy. You know, when I walk to the street, I tell people, like, I was in coma 3 to 4 days ago. They don't believe me. I was fit, I was healthy, I was strong. I didn't know who that was, but now I believe it's Jesus that appeared to me. So after that, it took about a week, so I was getting to myself, I was confused because all this affected me psychologically, everything, but God was with me. So I went to buy fish and chips. So I went out that night. After buying my fish and chips, I pressed the zebra crossing. I pressed it. So I noticed someone was looking at me from the other side of the road. Because I was so security conscious after everything I've been through. So she just pulled over right in front of me. She was like, hey, you. I was like, who is this person? She said, have your grandma be praying for you? I was like, what? She said, God said I should tell you that he loves you. I was so cold, I couldn't move. That was Natalie. I couldn't move. So she held my hands. We sat down by the fish and chip shop. We started talking. I told her a bit of my story. She invited me to the Kings. So I came to the Kings that Sunday. So Pastor Greg asked, who wanna give his life to Christ? So I came out that Sunday. I haven't cried for ages. I don't cry. I don't know if I had tears in my eyes. But when I knelt down here that Sunday, I was crying like a little baby. I was crying and crying and crying. Then Pastor Greg laid his hand on me. He was, oh boy, you have a good heart. So, after everything, they're telling me about Jesus. You know, after everything, I have a lot of things running through my head. I was like, should I really follow this Jesus? Should I really do this? Can I dedicate myself to this? Can I do this? I didn't know. I had questions, like asking myself heaps of questions. So I stopped a cab. I told a taxi, just take me anywhere. Take me wherever. I just want to get out of here. He said, all right, he will take me to Kulangata. So I went to Kulangata. I sat by the beach, asking myself questions, talking to myself, asking myself questions about this Jesus, you know, everything. Then this woman appeared from nowhere. She came, she sat next to me. We started having a conversation. The next minute, she started speaking in tongues. She was speaking in tongues. She was shouting. I was embarrassed because people were walking by. They were just looking at us like I was like, she stood up. She couldn't sit near me. She was like, oh boy, you have the Holy Spirit around you. You have powers. You have great powers around you. So from that moment, when I went home, I knelt down. I said to God, whatever you want to do with me, I'm all yours. I'm like an instrument before you. Use me. Do whatever you want to do. from that moment till this day, I've never stopped coming to church.
Yeah.
From the moment I walked through those doors, my life hasn't been the same anymore.
Yeah.
Greater things keep happening and happening. Like, my life is like, when I go out here, when I talk to people, I don't know how to preach, but when I tell them my testimony, I do two things. I tell them my testimony and I give them my church address. I pray one day when I learn how to preach, I will preach better, you know, like, I'll preach like Pastor Greg. Yeah. But this morning, you know, it's not about me anymore, because I believe God is with me now. Like, He has used Natalie to show me the way. Like, I believe God is the way, the truth, and the life now. But this morning, when I saw what is happening in Africa, 276 girls, Christian, kidnapped by the Islamic group. Those girls are gonna get raped. They're gonna be forced to get married to people that they don't even know. What are the mothers gonna do? They can't sleep, they can't eat. Those little girls have always hoped to be a mom like each and every one of you here. Look at what is happening all over the world. Women are suffering. Women are being treated like slaves. Australia is one of those countries that women know their rights. Those women out there, they need your voices. They need you, Australian women. You all are powerful women. You all are strong. Look at India. Women are facing domestic violence every day. They need a voice. Their voice can be heard. It's your voice that can be heard for them. They're crying every day. They're crying for angels to fall from the sky. Why there are angels living on earth? You all are angels. You just need to change their life. You just need to make an impact for them. You know, you need to speak for them. There are campaigns. You can open one. You can join one. You can go on a mission trip. If you can't go, you can sponsor someone who wanna go. God has blessed your nation for a reason. He didn't bless you. He didn't bless you to boast of it to other nations, how rich you are. No, He blessed you to bless others. He needs you. They need you. They need someone to talk for them. They are in the dark holes right there. They can't do anything. If you can't do anything, if you can't travel, then give to the church. The church is ready to reach out to all these people. If I have it, I'll give everything I have to this church, because they're really doing a great work for us, but we don't know that. All they ask for you is just put it in there so that they would reach these people, that we cannot reach them. There are people who are ready to travel. They're ready to go on a mission trip. Other churches are not like that. I've been to other churches. They've invited me. I've seen how everything is. And yet they fell asleep. The last one I went to, their worship was so quiet. But there is God in this place. I can feel it. If you can't feel it, I can feel it. There is God here. Make the world a better place. For you, for me, and for those people whose voice can be heard. God bless you.
I just said, you're a preacher. He's a preacher. And you know, there's nothing more powerful than your testimony. It's yours, you see. And, you know, some people can have theories, but that testimony of yours is the truth for you. It's an experience. And in Revelation, it says that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives to the end. And that is Casa. If you can live that type of life for Jesus, there is nothing that will stop you. There's nothing impossible. Is that right, Paul? It's true. Nothing is impossible. If you can be of that attitude, God will use you greatly. Thank you for that. That's great. That's, you preached half my message, so I'll Can we open up the Bible to Acts? And you know, we're just watching that wonderful growth. I love seeing people grow in the Lord. I love seeing people really connect with God. And I watch lives. We walk with them. And then suddenly, bang, God touches their life. And it's just as if it was night and day. And they start to take off with God. And nothing stops them. And I've just seen Casa, you know, just taken off with Jesus. I can't wait to see what God's going to do through young men and women like that who are really just sold out for Jesus. We're in our church in Africa. When I say our church, we were under a tree. We met under a tree to start with. We didn't have a building. We met outside a guy's little stick house. His name was Francis, and we had a few people there, but you know, 100 or so, you know, after a little while, and sitting under a tree, and this witch doctor used to come through the church. You know, you'd have your rooster crow. I used to annoyed with the rooster, but then I used to start to say, well, you know, I can either get annoyed with him or I can use him for part of my message. So I used to tell the congregation he's saying hallelujah. So he'd go, I go, amen, you know, and I'd say, come on, let's join the rooster and say hallelujah, and everyone go hallelujah. So whenever we got to a point where the rooster went, and everyone go hallelujah. So I just used him to my advantage. All creation groans for the revealing of the sons of God. And anyway, this witch doctor used to come through. She, a woman, used to come through, and she used to incant upon the people while the service was going. And it was very annoying because she would sing at the top of her voice, and she'd go through. And the people, you've got to understand, the people were afraid, are very, very afraid of witch doctors. In fact, they're so afraid that the witch doctors used to have little herbs, and if you found the herbs outside your place, wow, it was there was a curse placed upon you, and they were just frightened of this stuff. Anyway, this witch doctor would come through the place and sing, and it was really hard to know what to do. For a start, I didn't speak the language. I had an interpreter and another interpreter, so we interpreted twice because we had English to Portuguese, Portuguese to Sena, because the older ladies couldn't understand the Portuguese. And so this was just a disturbance. And I remember we'd just started training some people in the church. Remember, not a soul in our church had been a Christian before we arrived there. So 100 people in our church meant 100 people had given their hearts to the Lord. And I was training them as quickly as I possibly could to be leaders. And so after a few months, we had leadership training, and I used to meet them in our house. There wasn't a lot of money, so they had to walk 12 kilometers to my house every single day to be trained. And we'd train them there, and then we'd send them home, and they'd have to walk home. Sometimes there was a bit of money to send them home on a little minibus called a Sharper. But one day when they came in here on a Monday morning, I said, we need to pray about this witch doctor that keeps coming into our church and moving around the congregation and singing and cursing. And I said, let's pray. And we got up and we prayed. And as we prayed, I said these words, Lord, You have to save her or remove her from our church. You have to save her or remove her. We didn't mind her coming if she got saved, but she's now a disturbance. And we'd seen many people delivered of demons, many. So we were just waiting for her to be delivered from a demon. Anyway, Lord, please save her or remove her. Well, that day, she died. And on Sunday in the church, the fear of God had come upon our congregation. It wasn't the same ever again. Everybody knew that God had killed her. Go to Acts chapter 3, because we're going to have a look at a nature of the Holy Spirit that you may not know. He is the Holy Spirit. Sorry, chapter 5. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. And he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back a part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Who did he lie to? The Holy Spirit. And Peter said, you've lied to God. So lying to the Holy Spirit was lying to God. This is just one of those scriptures where we learn the Spirit of God and is part of the Trinity. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. He died. How did he die? I ask you the question, how did he die? God took him. God took him out. Who took him out? The Holy Spirit took him out. So great fear came upon all of those who heard these things. And the young men arose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. Now, it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, tell me, whether you sold the land for so much? And she said, yes, for so much. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Then, immediately, she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. How did she die? You're looking at... This is a bizarre doctrine. Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband at the door, they will carry out. She immediately fell down and breathed her last. And the young men came in, found her dead, and carrying her out, buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon the church and upon all who heard these things. When I prayed, I said, Lord, please save her or remove her. God removed her. And fear, the fear of God, a wholesome dread of displeasing him came upon our church. And it is good for the fear of the Lord to come upon the church. Yes. It is a good thing. Yes. The man owned the property. The man could have sold it and kept the whole lot for himself, but he had committed to giving something. And when he was challenged about it, he could have at that point said, look, I just can't afford to do it. I've made a big error. Would you please forgive me? Look, I've made a vow to the Lord. But he didn't. He lied. And in lying to the man, he wasn't lying to the man, he was lying to God. And in this particular instance, it was a significant point where God judged it just like that. Now you'd say, oh, that's Old Testament. No, it's not. It's in the New Testament. This is our blessed Holy Spirit. Just weeks, perhaps, after the great day of Pentecost when he was poured out with great noise, the mighty rushing wind, and with fire. We talked about that last week. Why have I opened up on such a positive note? I'll tell you. Because we need to learn about the Holy Spirit. You need to know the person that is going to empower you to reach the world. You need to understand that this is the Holy Spirit moving in the gifts of the Spirit, moving in healing, moving in miracles, moving all of those things that are available to you, and you will move in them if you believe them. They are not party tricks. This is not Jonathan Edwards, who's contacts soothsayers and clairvoyants and reaches to the dead and talks to people and say, your grandmother's saying this to you. This isn't David Copperfield with some kind of illusionary trick. This is the great God of heaven who needs to be respected. That when you go to preach the gospel in the power of the Spirit, you need to understand it comes with that a great responsibility. And the apostles understood that. Peter understood that. And whilst under the inspiration and the power of the Holy Ghost, he recognized that that's what was happening with this guy Ananias. And under that government of God, the man was judged in that presence. There was an anointing there. There should have been good things happening there, but the man was killed. And then his wife came in light and they'd conspired together. And you've really got to see it happen to realize, like when we saw that witch doctor die, it was bittersweet. It was terribly bitter for the fact that there had been a soul that had been judged by God to be killed. I found that very difficult. I'll tell you now, this scripture here was one that I read a lot because I needed to gain understanding. But it happens. I heard Charles Finney. I read of his story where he was preaching one day and some people in his meetings, over, I think it was more than one, stood up and profaned God in the meeting. God struck them dead on the spot. They had to be carried out. You've got to understand, friend, it is a joy to serve the Lord. But we must remember who He is. He is still the Lord God Almighty, the author and perfecter of our faith, the creator of our lives and the universe, in fact. And He wants to come into partnership with us, but it's not a flippant thing. It's not one day, oh yes, I'll serve the Lord today, I feel a bit like it, but tomorrow I'm just going to, I think I'll go out on the town and do this and this and this and this. Someone saying preach it. Is that me? We talked, didn't you? You've got to shout out, Leah. You have to, because I say Australians can sometimes be a bit quiet, but you're not Australian. I mean, you might be a citizen, but your origin is not Australian by language. You just got to shout it out. I allow a little bit of quietness for Australians because they're just more reserved, and when they're quiet, I actually believe they're receiving something. But you're from New Zealand, so you can shout out. But is Vi here at all? Any Fijians here? Is anybody not Australian here? Well, I fully expect that you will shout out. Jolly good. Thank you. Top hat. So, as we journey into the book of Acts to see what the disciples did, can we get this straight? God is God. We are human beings filled with the power of God. But He is a holy God. Remember His name, Holy Spirit. Remember that. And when they went, the very next thing that happened, we see over there, is that the apostles were put into prison. And in verse 17, the same chapter, it says here, then the high priest rose up and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. Why? Because there were many people coming to Jesus under the power of the preaching of these men. And They put them in the prison, locked the gates. But now listen. Nothing is impossible for you. If you have that depth of respect of the holiness of God and the greatness of God, if you get that first, the fear of the Lord, beginning of wisdom, and then move into the ministry of God, understanding that everything's available for you. Now you'll do it with a righteous fear of God, a holy fear of God. Now you'll minister with a different emphasis and a different depth. Then these great things will start to happen. But look, they were locked in prison. And it says, at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out. They're in prison. They're locked behind doors. There are guards. There are more guards. And then there are even more guards. And there are big steel gates, big wooden gates, and bars. And here are these guys being arrested because they've been preaching the gospel because someone decided we're going to persecute them and stop them. And these guys are lying there one night and along comes an angel. God sends an angel. I don't know who it was that spoke to Carter in his dream. Perhaps it was the Lord Jesus himself, and I praise God for that. Perhaps it was an angel. I don't know. But when you're under the inspiration, the power of God, expect miracles. He'll do it differently every time. But the angel came, it says, and brought him out, opened the prison doors and brought him out, led him out, come with me. And the guards were in some kind of stupor. They'd gone into sort of a coma, Kasa. They're in some coma at the door. They're standing there with it, or they're asleep or whatever it is. But the angel led them out to the front door and then said, go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. The high priest and those with him came and called the council together with all the elders of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and did not find them in the prison, they returned and reported, saying, we found the prison shut securely and the guards standing outside before the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside. That's a miracle. You need to expect miracles. I've got a trust bag full of these sort of stories where angels have taken us through places that we shouldn't have gone. But this is available to you, my friend. If you will trust the Lord and you'll be filled with the Spirit and you'll start to reach out, you know why he let them out? So they can continue to preach. Paul the Apostle was locked in prison with Silas. They were singing hymns at nighttime. It didn't bother them. They loved not their life to the end. And the Bible says a great earthquake happened. And all the prisoners went out. That God used an earthquake on that occasion. But you can expect miracles when the Holy Spirit's upon you and you are dedicated to service under the fear of the Lord. And I just want to look at a couple of things here about persecution, because it says in Acts 5 again, verse 41. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name, and daily in the temple and in every house they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Great persecution then came upon the church and continued to get more intense. That's where I was going, Acts chapter 8. Saul was consenting to the death of Stephen as he was martyred. And at that time a great persecution arose against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. And so this is the other aspect that you'll find as you go out to take the world for Jesus. having been endowed with the fear and reverence of God, being filled with the mighty power of God to preach and teach, and expecting miracles wherever you go, expect persecution. Let me just encourage you. Peter says, don't be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. Rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you're insulted for the name of Jesus, you're blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. Jesus was persecuted. Peter was persecuted. Paul was persecuted. All the apostles were persecuted. Saints through the whole age have been persecuted. If you're preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ properly, persecution will come upon you. John says, don't be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. Paul says to Timothy, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. People don't like you because you live a godly, righteous life. It exposes sin. It exposes the need within themselves to be submitted to the God of heaven. John says, if the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. Luke said, blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man, who is Jesus. Proverbs said, an unjust man is an abomination to the righteous, but one whose way is straight is an abomination to the wicked. If you live a straight life, you're going to upset those whose lives are not straight. Righteousness brings persecution. Amos said, they hate him who reproves in the gate, and they abhor him who speaks the truth. When you speak the truth, the devil hates it, and he'll bring upon you some kind of resistance. Paul says in Hebrews, consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. When persecution comes your way because you're preaching the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit, expect that persecution shall come. Don't worry about it. Don't be surprised. If you love the world and you love the comfort of this life, then it's going to worry you. But if, like Cass, you say, I don't love my life anymore, in the sense of, I prefer Jesus, I want to serve him, then persecution will not bother you. I found out recently that Kyle was locked up in prison in Mozambique. He just said, Dad, I've never told you this, but I was thrown in jail. Persecution will come upon you. Corinthians says, for we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be manifest in our mortal flesh. There are rewards for being persecuted. Philippians, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, people are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Paul said, because I was in prison, other people got more boldness to preach the word of God. Your persecution will encourage others to preach the word of God. How do you respond to this type of persecution? Well, you've got to do it out of the love of your heart, the love of the Lord. Romans says, repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what's honorable in the sight of all. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Luke says, rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for great is your reward in heaven. Because this is what they did to your fathers did to the prophets. Matthew says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Mark says, don't be anxious beforehand what you're going to say when they come over and persecute you, but trust that the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say. God's right there with you. He's right there with you. He's never closer than when you come under this extreme persecution and you call upon his name. He's right there to deliver you and help you. Isaiah 56, prophesying about Jesus, I gave my back to those who strike and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. Walk towards it. It's okay. God is right there with you. Why did Jesus say, turn the other cheek? I've heard lots of stuff about that, but really, just turn the other cheek. Peter says, therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. Can you trust the Lord through difficult times? The reward, as I close this right out, and we'll have the worship team coming, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Romans says, more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. There are great rewards for being perseverant and enduring persecution. Revelation says, for the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, speaking of those that have been killed because of their testimony for Jesus. Revelation 20 verse 4, speaking of the same group of people, they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. These were they that were killed for the testimony. And 2 Corinthians, just to close it off, for the sake of Christ, then I am content with my weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Strong in the Lord. Friend, what happened in this early day was after Ananias and Sapphira were struck down, so started in a bit of persecution that came to a point where Stephen, a deacon, a man who knew the word of God and just loved the Lord, for his testimony was stoned to death. It's the first martyr we see in the Bible. And so started a tribulation, persecution, that has continued to this day in increasing amounts. You know, Carson was talking about the girls being abducted. We'll see people killed. We'll see people persecuted. They'll be wrongly spoken of. They'll be insulted. Later in the year, we've just confirmed we've got Reverend Fred Nile coming to speak to us here in November. A man that stood up against the gay Mardi Gras and things like this. Terribly insulted and persecuted man. Probably the most despised man by the gay lobby. Because he stands against those things. The leader or ex-leader, former leader of the Christian Democrats. Oh, is he still the leader of the... Still? Sorry? Christian Democrats, I think. Yeah, he's still there, but he's coming to speak to us. I just want to get around him. He's an elderly man now. But friend, you're going to get it. If you're not in it, maybe you're living you're living to one side. I'm just looking at people nodding, and the ones I'm looking at are the ones that are preaching the gospel, because I'm looking over at Russ over there, he's nodding. Yeah, you will get it. That's not to make you scared or anything like that. Can I just say, this is there you can push into the Holy Ghost. Where's that worship team? They're scared. Where are they? Come on, here they are. You all right, everybody? You ready for this? Because why are we teaching on this? We're preparing for a move of the Lord. When we see the Holy Spirit come, it is the great Holy Spirit that's coming. Our lives need to be supple before the Lord. That's not trying to scare you. If your heart is motivated to God, you'd be going, oh, that's wonderful. You know, I need to make sure my life is right with the Lord. You don't even want to try and, you know, fool God. You can't fool him. And why does he want, why is he some kind of religious God that just looking to kill you? Not at all. He just wants this reverence there so that when he come and inhabits you and fills you, that you can minister on his behalf, that you will do it wholeheartedly in great power. There's so much available for you. You're such powerful, powerful people.